This is Teddy Bridgewater, and you're listening to the Wobcast, hosted by Wobby.
Here comes the former Terp to the left, makes a man miss at the 45. Uh-oh. Gets loose at the 50, digs to the 40, to the 30, back to the right, looks for a block, gets it, 10, 5, leap for the end zone, out of bounds at the 1, Stephon Diggs. Passes left man, wide open, caught Michael Pruitt, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. Touchdown Vikings to the rookie Michael Pruitt, and the Vikings take the lead, HOF. And Winston back to pass. Boom! He's hit and sacked by Everson Griffin at the 9-yard line. Caught the rookie from Florida State on the blind side. He's going to fire deep left for Patterson. Caught back left of the end zone. Touchdown. Poor Darryl Patterson. 21-yard touchdown. Takes the snap, five-step drop, looks right, passes right, intercepted. Antone Exum turns it up far side. 40, 30, cuts back at the 25, and that's where he stopped. Bridgewater fade right, back right of the end zone. Caught, touchdown, Vikings, Charles Johnson. It's Teddy Bridgewater's first preseason touchdown pass, and the first by Charles Johnson. Bridgewater to Johnson, my oh my. Cordero will give it a rip 6 yards deep between the hash marks. Angles out to the right. He's to the 10, to the 15. Cordero to the 30. He has the kicker of the beat, and he beats him inside the 40. Cordero Patterson is gone. Welcome back to the spotlight, young man. It's only the preseason, but you just silenced a bunch of people. It's 106 to the good, and the Vikings reclaim the lead.
Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast, and I am your host, Mike Wobshaw, in Xfinity Studios at Winter Park, here to preview the 2015 season, which is just around the corner, with the Vikings opening things up on the road on Monday night against the San Francisco 49ers. You just heard some of the best moments from the preseason. If that can't get you pumped up for Vikings football, I don't know what would. The Vikings 4-1 this preseason. They played in an extra preseason game, that being the Hall of Fame game, way back in early August, a victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers in Canton, Ohio. The night after, the organization watched one of its greatest players, Mick Tinglehoff, go into the Hall of Fame. After that, a bunch of highlight-worthy moments for the Vikings this preseason. Stephon Diggs impressing people, our quarterbacks playing very well, the defense growing under second-year head coach Mike Zimmer. What did we learn about the Vikings in the preseason? Well, a few things. We learned that Teddy Bridgewater is looking sharp. He set a franchise record for completion percentage in the preseason. Teddy playing well in all of his appearances. We learned that Gerald Hodges could be a starting linebacker for the Vikings this season. He even played in the middle some. He began his Vikings career as an outside linebacker, played a little bit of middle linebacker in Mike Zimmer's defense this training camp and this preseason. Jeff Locke is on the improve. He had a bunch of punts downed inside the 20, so we liked what we saw from Jeff Locke. Blair Walsh needs to straighten a few things up heading into the season. A few field goal misses during the preseason has people hoping that he can get it turned around in time for the regular season. And finally, the last highlight you heard in the opening montage, Cordero Patterson. Did he get his groove back? The Dallas Cowboys might think so. He returned a kickoff for a touchdown, 107 yards, against the Cowboys at AT&T Stadium. So lots happening for the Vikings in the preseason. They head to the regular season with a 4-1 record in the preseason and with things looking up. Now, we have a jam-packed episode of the Wobcast for you coming up. We're going to take a look around the NFC North. We're going to take a few reactions from the 53-man roster cut down. We're going to take a stroll down memory lane and look at some Minnesota Vikings Monday night memories. But first, unfortunately, we have to review my once again dreadful performance in a new segment of the Wobcast this year, Over Under. And to start the trashing of me, I hand it over to producer Nate Vaughn.
I promise we didn't think of this as a bit.
This is the worst
ever. This wasn't
ever
supposed to be a bit, but you again went 0-3. Right. So we'll wipe the slate clean after
good
this
good
because it will be the regular season and everything counts from then on.
We're very gracious. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm taking it easy on you.
Okay, thank
you. We've got 17 weeks ahead of plenty of these. So
I cannot go over 3 every week. That would be a very, very awful record for me. And if I start doing that, we're going to have to come up with a new bit. But anyway.
You're right. Okay. So the first one we had for the final preseason game against Tennessee, we had touchdowns for Dominique Williams. He had a good showing against Dallas the week prior. We knew he was going to play a lot against Tennessee. So I don't think it would have been crazy. We put the over-under at 1.5 touchdowns, rushing and or receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And you took the over.
I took the over because I love me some Dominique Williams.
He has looked good.
Right.
He has looked good.
And he's still on our team. He didn't make the 53-man roster, but he is on the practice squad.
That's true. Unfortunately for you, he only had 1 touchdown.
Right. So I
against
missed.
The Titans. So you were incorrect on that. The second over-under, we had total passing attempts in a game. And that was kind of an interesting one because we approached it as, you know, Taylor Heineke's looked good and he's thrown the ball quite a bit to that point,
mm-hmm.
but it's a final preseason game.
Let's get out of there.
Just want to get out of there. Just get that game over with as quickly as you can.
Right.
So we put the over-under at total passes, not just for the Vikings, but for the whole game, for both teams. We put the over-under at 48 passing attempts.
And I went under.
You went under.
Right.
The correct amount was 66 total passes. So it was not really even close. To 48.
66 passes in a preseason game. I mean, I went to the preseason finale in Tennessee, and the greatest show on turf, the St. Louis Rams and Kurt Warner broke out. I mean, I don't know what's going on there, but okay, 0 for 2.
So 0 for 2, and then finally, we talked a little bit about 2-point conversion attempts and how that might even carry over into the regular season for some NFL teams. But for now, we put the over-under at 2.5 2-point conversion attempts, and you took the over. You were buying into the 2-point conversion
deal,
the trend,
mm-hmm.
if you will. You took the over at 2.5, and in fact, there was 1 actual 2-point conversion attempted. There were actually 2, one was called back for a penalty and then followed up by just the kick.
Right.
So even if you count that in, you were still
I'm still a loser. But interesting that we actually had a penalty on a 2-point conversion try, and then the team got to redo it and change their mind. You know, that's
cut
kind
their
of
losses and say, we'll just kick it.
Right. I mean, that's kind of an interesting thing that will happen, I would imagine, in the regular season. Now, it will be interesting to see what NFL teams do, Nate, in the regular season with the PAT/2-point conversion, especially once we get to the second half of the schedule, when in some cities the weather will turn. It'll be windy. It'll be snowy. It'll be more adverse kicking conditions for the kickers. Will that tempt some coaches to forego the 1-point extra point and go for 2? So that'll be interesting to watch. Now, the trend in the preseason is a complete and total increase in 2-point conversion tries by a significant margin. But that's to be expected because the league is trying for 1 year this experiment with the new PAT format. And so coaches are going to want to practice it. You can certainly see why. It'll be interesting to see what happens early in the regular season if more coaches do indeed go for 2 in regular season games or if they revert to their previous ways and continue to go for 1. It will be interesting to see. Let's take a quick look back at what happened earlier in the week when the Vikings cut down from 75 players to 53 and finalized their 53-man roster. Not a ton of surprises for the Vikings. The one thing that might catch your eye right away when you look at the Vikings roster, they have 3 quarterbacks. Now, that was a thing that NFL teams did regularly for many, many seasons, but lately a lot of teams have been going to the 2-quarterback format on their roster, which opens up another roster spot somewhere else on offense or defense. But the Vikings have 3 quarterbacks. The reason that may catch your eye is because going into the offseason program, and then even once we got to training camp, I don't think many people would have expected that, but Taylor Heineke played awesome in the preseason and quite frankly played his way into a roster spot. He is the Vikings' 3rd quarterback, an undrafted kid out of Old Dominion, improved every step of the way under the guidance of offensive coordinator Norv Turner and quarterbacks coach Scott Turner, and played really well at Dallas, going 11 for 11, and then started and finished the preseason finale at Tennessee and did a lot of good things there. So he makes the roster. He will be the Vikings' 3rd quarterback. That's one of the interesting storylines that came from the Vikings cuts. There are several more, and we have them all explained on Vikings.com, so we encourage you to go to Vikings.com and check that out. Okay, from the Vikings and their 53-man roster to our division opponents, Nate Vaughn, let's preview the NFC North. What do you got?
We'll start with the Chicago Bears. We'll go in alphabetical order, so okay. We start in Chicago.
That's very fair of you.
I try to
not
be.
Showing any preference to anyone. Okay.
So in Chicago, we have a lot of the same players. We still have Jay Cutler throwing the ball. We still have Matt Forte behind him. Mm-hmm. Alshon Jeffrey out there wide. But the coaching staff, almost if not totally new.
Correct. John
so
Fox.
What can we expect from John Fox and company in Chicago?
So John Fox comes from the Denver Broncos, where he and the organization parted ways, and now he's the head coach in Chicago. He brought with him his offensive coordinator from the Broncos. Adam Gase is now the Bears' offensive coordinator, and John Fox, of course, brings his defense. He could, it looks like, will be running a 3-4 defense, Nate, in Chicago. And whenever you change your defensive front from a 3-4 or vice versa, you also have to start the process of an overhaul in your personnel, and sometimes that takes a couple of seasons. The Green Bay Packers recently did that, and one of their better players at the time was Aaron Campman, who was a traditional 4-3 defensive end and was not a great fit in Dom Capers' 3-4 defense and subsequently left the team and played for Jacksonville. But that's neither here nor there. So, I mean, obviously when you look at the Bears' defense, you remember that one of the Vikings fan favorites in recent memory, Jared Allen, now plays for the Bears, and he is a traditional, outstanding 4-3 defensive end who's now probably going to be playing in a 3-4 front. So it'll be interesting to see how John Fox incorporates Jared Allen into his defense. A lot of changeover on that roster. Some stalwarts are no longer there. And the name that comes to mind this year, like we've seen Brian Urlacher leave, he's no longer there. But the name that comes to mind this year is Charles Tillman, cornerback who we've had to deal with for many, many years, forcing many turnovers via interception and forced fumble, is no longer in Chicago. So that's nice. But they do have a nice young corner in Kyle Fuller that we're going to have to watch out for. So that Bears defense will be interesting to watch. It's in transition, but it's also under very good hands. And John Fox, who knows what he's doing, he's had a lot of success with the New York Giants, with the Carolina Panthers, and with the Denver Broncos. Offensively, yep, Jay Cutler's still there. Matt Forte still there. Matt Forte, a true dual threat as a runner and as a receiver. Alshon Jeffrey, a little dinged up, but is expected to play early in the season. Not expected to play early in the season is another wide receiver, Kevin White. So Brandon Marshall has left the Bears, now plays for the Giants, was traded away. They replaced him with Kevin White, who is one of the better receivers in this year's draft class out of West Virginia, but he is starting the season unable to play. So we will not probably see Kevin White early in the season, but we still have to deal with Alshon Jeffrey. So to me, an interesting team. A lot of people are down on the Bears, Nate, and I can see why, because they're going through so much change and a lot of people are losing belief in Jay Cutler. But the bottom line is they do have a gunslinging, big-armed quarterback in Jay Cutler. They have a talented receiver in Alshon Jeffrey, and they have one of the best running backs in the NFL in Matt Forte. It's a team that's going to be able to score points, particularly if they can protect Jay Cutler, so you got to watch out for that. And you know, the Bears, like us, are chasing the Green Bay Packers. This division goes through the Green Bay Packers. A lot of people are not giving the Bears a chance, but I do give them a chance because I know how tough it is to play at Soldier Field, and I know that when Jay Cutler gets hot, it's tough to beat him.
All right, moving on to Detroit. The Detroit Lions, pretty decent year last year. They gave us a couple tough games and made the playoffs, had a tough loss in the playoffs.
Yep.
But still, an impressive showing by them last year.
Yes.
They've lost a few important pieces along their defensive front, certainly. What can we expect from Detroit?
11 wins last season. They were 11-5. That's a pretty good season. You lose Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley. You mentioned they lost some important players up front. Those are the two that come to mind right away. And those are big losses. They did, however, trade for Haloti Ngata from the Baltimore Ravens, so the cupboard is not bare on the defensive front. I like their defensive front, and they're young at corner and getting better at corner. They have a nice linebacker in DeAndre Levy. So, defensively, I still think Detroit's a tough team. Remember, Detroit is the team that came into our stadium last season in Minnesota and sacked Teddy Bridgewater 8 times, picked him off once, I believe. So, I mean, we had a tough time dealing with this defense, and I know that Sue and Fairley are gone, but they still have some talent in their defense. So you got to watch out for that defensive front still. Ziggy Ansah is good off the edge, and Haloti Ngata still has some game, I think, and he'll be playing defensive tackle for them. Offensively, though, that's the identity of this team, Matthew Stafford, Calvin Johnson. They added Golden Tate last year, had a nice season, over 1,000 receiving yards. He's going to be a factor once again this season. They have Joik Bell at running back. They also have Amir Abdullah as a running back. But the identity of this team, Nate, is their offense. Matthew Stafford throwing to Calvin Johnson, now also throwing to Golden Tate. They acquired him before last season. He had over 1,000 receiving yards. I expect him to be a factor once again. Joik Bell is a tough runner. They have the rookie running back, Amir Abdullah, out of Nebraska. So, I mean, they have some weapons on offense as well. This is another team that can score some points, and this is why it's great to have Mike Zimmer as our head coach, a defensive-minded head coach. It's awesome that we've added a bunch of really good players to our defense early in the draft. Anthony Barr was a first-round pick of late. Trey Wayne's a first-round pick of late, because we have to contend with these great offenses in Chicago, in Detroit with Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson, and then with the next team that we're going to preview, the Green Bay Packers. So tons of good offenses in this division. Detroit as good as any of them, and I expect them to be a team that scores a bunch of points this year as well.
As you hinted at, the final team we'll look at is the Green Bay Packers, our favorite
team
to talk
them.
About.
Yeah, oh, they're great.
Obviously, a lot of people know about the Jordy Nelson injury out for the year. Certainly unfortunate for Green Bay, but they still certainly have plenty of parts to work with.
Definitely. Still a team that's going to score a bunch of points, 24, 25, 28 points a game. Who knows? Sky's the limit when you have Aaron Rodgers. This is an offensive line, Nate, that we used to just completely pick on and trash, and we used to be able to beat Green Bay because of that. And now it's an offensive line that's pretty solid. Aaron Rodgers gets rid of the ball on time because he's got receivers who can get open, and they have Eddie Lacy who can run downhill at you and do it very well. So this is a complete offense, even without Jordy Nelson. This is a complete offense. I expect that Randall Cobb will step up. He'll see a few more targets. Davante Adams will see more targets. He was targeted 66 times last season, Nate. So it's not like Davante Adams is a newbie that they're throwing in there. I mean, he knows this offense, and Aaron Rodgers is comfortable with him. They got a couple of other younger receivers, Ty Montgomery, Jeff Janis. So, I mean, this is an offense that's still going to be able to click on all cylinders, especially once they get going in the regular season. And let's also not forget, they've added a familiar face to their mix with Jordy Nelson going down. They've signed James Jones, who left the team, signed with the Raiders, did not work out there, was with the New York Giants this preseason, did not work out there. So Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy called James Jones once the Giants got rid of him, and they brought him back. So he's going to be able to add a little bit something too. So it all begins and ends with Aaron Rodgers and the offense when you talk about Green Bay defensively. You know, the Packers don't always rank great defensively in any category in terms of like rush defense, passing defense, points allowed. But the one thing they can do is create turnovers. I mean, Clay Matthews can rush the passer as well as anyone and can force turnovers that way. And, you know, a lot of times teams get down to Green Bay and now they got to throw the ball a bunch and you're throwing interceptions. So, yeah, I mean, this defense is not going to remind you of the 1985 Bears, or it's not going to remind you of the Baltimore Ravens defense, defenses that have been so good recently. But it's an opportunistic defense, and it's a defense that has some talent with Clay Matthews and with Julius Peppers and with a young safety and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. So, an offensive team, no doubt, but that offense can set up their defense for success as well. And as we said earlier, the NFC North, whether you like to admit it or not, right now it goes through Green Bay because they are the defending champions. And most people are pointing to them as favorites in the division once again this year. The good news for the Vikings is if they are in it to win it in the end of the season, you have something to look forward to, and that is a Week 17 game at Lambeau Field, which, when there is something on the line, what better atmosphere than Lambeau Field? So that hopefully will be a lot of fun in Week 17. Enough talking about Week 17 and the NFC North. Let's talk about Monday Night Football. It's the first game of the season, and everyone is always excited for that, but extra excitement for the Vikings and for Vikings fans this season, because the season begins on Monday Night Football. The Vikings, of course, playing in the second half of the Monday Night Football doubleheader. In recent seasons, ESPN has gone to a doubleheader format on its first Monday night of the season. They do not do that in subsequent Monday nights, but for the first week, for week one of the NFL regular season, they do a doubleheader on Monday Night Football. The Vikings play in the second half of it, their game at San Francisco, with a kickoff of 9:20 p.m. Central Time. It is, folks, the latest kickoff time for a Vikings game in franchise history. Kind of a cool note as we begin the 2015 regular season. So because we play on Monday Night Football to begin the season, let's go through some Monday Night Football moments for the Minnesota Vikings. And we'll start in 1998, Randy Moss's rookie season.
Randall, going deep again, adjusting his Moss, and then Randy Moss squeezes his way in for the touchdown.
It is unbelievable. He just throws it up, and these guys catch the football. This is like a circus out here with these guys.
Randy Moss is the best young receiver that I have seen, maybe ever.
He certainly was the best rookie receiver, rookie player that season. And really, when you look at it, Randy Moss had one of the best rookie seasons by any player at any position in NFL history. 5 receptions for 190 yards and 2 touchdowns in that Monday Night Football game. Randall Cunningham, who had a great season that year as well. As most of you remember, he was 20 of 32 for 442 yards and 4 touchdowns. The Vikings won the game 37-24. Let's stick with a Green Bay theme. We love beating the Packers, and we've done it on Monday Night Football from time to time. The next time was October 5th, 2009, home game against the Green Bay Packers. Brett Favre.
Favre under center. Adrian's the tailback. And Favre goes play action. Looks at Tahi to the right. Swings it back to the left. Touchdown! Visonte Shenko! And the Brett Favre-led Minnesota Vikings strike first in the border battle. Favre takes the snap. Looks left. Pump. Swings back to the right. Fires into the end zone. Touchdown! Sidney Rice! It's touchdown number 2 for Brett Favre against his former team. And that's a 14-yard cold-blooded connection. Vikings lead 13-7. Favre goes back to pass. Fade left. Caught. Burying. Inside the 5. Touchdown! 3 touchdowns tonight for Brett Favre against his former team.
That was a really fun season, of course, because the Vikings went 12-4, went to the NFC title game. But having Brett Favre on the team, a former rival of the Vikings for so many seasons, having him on our side and beating the Packers twice that season, including a home game on Monday Night Football, was a blast. That was one of Favre's 3 touchdowns on the night that you just heard. He was 24 of 31 for 271 yards and 3 touchdowns. Had a similarly impressive game at Lambeau Field a few weeks later. The Vikings went 2-0 against the Packers. And that victory over Green Bay at the Metrodome in Week 4 on Monday Night Football had Favre become the first quarterback in NFL history to defeat all 32 teams. Now, other side of the ball, Jared Allen was a monster that night as well.
Rodgers under center. He's back to pass. In trouble, sacked! Jared Allen, a fumble too! Jared Allen and Brian Robinson waiting for the signal! 69-96, Vikings ball! Rodgers out of the shotgun. He takes the snap. He fades to fire. Steps out to the left. Sack! 21, and he's sacked for a third time this game. He's sacked 15 times this season, and that one belongs to the calf roping specialist, Jared Allen. 7-0 in this third quarter, and Rodgers on a busted play. He has no idea where to go, so Jared Allen says, I'll sack you. And Rodgers back to pass. He steps up, pump, sacked! He lost the ball! He lost the ball at the 1-yard line. Vikings ball. It's Jared Allen on the fumble recovery. Rodgers back to pass. He's sacked. It's Jared Allen. And for Jared, he has 4.5 sacks tonight.
One of the finest nights of Jared Allen's career, and he had many fine performances in his seasons with the Vikings, but that was one of the best. 4.5 sacks of quarterback Aaron Rodgers. He was hitting him in the end zone. He was hitting him in the red zone. He was forcing fumbles. 4.5 sacks for Jared Allen that night. Jared Allen and Brett Favre paced the Vikings to a 30-23 win over the Green Bay Packers. And finally, kind of a quirky game for the Vikings. way back in 1987 against the Denver Broncos and John Elway, October 26th. This game was originally scheduled to be a Sunday night game, but Game 7 of the World Series for the Minnesota Twins got in the way.
To Gaetti, for the first time ever, the Minnesota Twins are the world champions.
That game pushed to a Monday night because of the World Series. The Vikings come away victorious, 34-27. You may remember or you may not. How about this name? DJ Dozier. 7 carries for 15 yards, not very impressive, but he got his Jerome Bettis on and had 3 touchdowns with those 15 yards rushing. He paced the Vikings to victory that night. So hopefully the Vikings can make some more Monday night football moments. Their next opportunity to do so is this week when they open the 2015 regular season against the San Francisco 49ers at Levi's Stadium, site of this year's Super Bowl. Super Bowl 50 will be at Levi's Stadium. Let's bookend this season with games at Levi's Stadium. That would be a lot of fun. This was a lot of fun, this episode of the Wobcast. We thank you for listening. That's it for now, but we're going to be back one more time this week to continue our preview of the Monday night season opener against the San Francisco 49ers and keep you up to date on all things Vikings. We encourage you to download the Vikings app if you do not have it, because then all of the great VEN content that we put out there can be delivered straight to your favorite mobile device. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I am your host, Mike Wobshaw. That's it for this edition of the Wobcast. We'll see you next time.